When I sat down to write this message, I got out my three Bibles and I opened them up, and I opened them up, my couple devotional books, and I put my pen in my hand and I just sat there. I kind of looked at everything and I closed all my books, because I think God wanted me to write this message, because I think this sermon is for me. I think this was written to me. I really do. But you may listen in. About 3 years ago, I was in here in McDonald's, and I ran into a friend of mine I grew up with in grade school. I hadn't seen him for a while. And Dougie had a tough life growing up in Bryant. He grew up with an alcoholic father that died very young. There was quite a few kids in the family. And his family never had much, and Dougie was sent off to Plankington, I think, when we were in the 6th, 7th grade. They called it a reform school down there then. The Army never worked out for him, and but we ran into each other, and we grabbed our food, and we sat down, and we started talking. And I found out that he was a Christian, that he'd come to know the Lord. And I got to tell you, the joy in me was unbelievable. So we talked to each other about how we'd kind of come to our faith and shared some things. But I just see this peace on them that I'd never got to see before. And we'd run into each other often, as even in our adult life, but this peace on him was just wonderful. And he kept telling me that when troubled times come, or when he felt a little troubled, he always went to the Psalms. He just loved the Psalms. And our God is so great that he puts people in our lives sometimes, and we don't know why we ran into him. But 3 years later, I know why I ran into him, because I recalled that. And that took me to the Psalms one day. And if you would stand, it's a very short one that I'm going to touch on today, but we'll read it. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. And I'm going to read it out of my NLT, so it'll probably read a little different than yours. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask that you would be with me right now, Lord, and take some of this nervousness away as I begin this message that we wrote, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless it and bless our time together, Lord, and give me the strength, Lord, as I speak hopefully for you and not for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. When Pastor Brian, I might get a little emotional today, so I'll warn you, but I think you've seen me up here before, but when Pastor Brian asked me to fill in for him today, I just kind of stared at him. As we were having breakfast, I just kind of stared across the table at him. I didn't say anything. And I didn't answer him right away. And he leaned over and he kind of told me, he said, I really think you need to do this. And as getting to know Brian, I should ask Zachariah, when he says you really need to do this, does that mean you're going to do it? Okay, does that, your dad, I kind of get there. Because he knows where I'm at right now. I'm going to be very honest up here, and sometimes Brian says I'm very transparent. I'm going to be very honest with you that I'm really struggling with some very painful issues in my life. Not something you probably want to hear your preacher come out with right away, but I am. Some recent and some from years ago. And I've learned lately that new pain or hardship or hurt can bring back up old pain. Not that I really care to revisit it, but as Brian told me, sometimes you have to clean your closet. You can't just keep opening the door and throwing stuff in there. And with God's help, I'm going to clean my closet. I really am. I've held on to some junk way too long. It's time to throw it away. It's time to nail it to the cross, and with Christ's help, I will. A couple of weeks ago, one Sunday afternoon, I picked up my Bible, and I just held on to it. And I asked Jesus, you know what? Just take me somewhere, Lord. Take me somewhere. I didn't open my Bible right away. I needed him to speak to me and let me know that he was there. I know he's there, but I needed to know that. And I sat there holding my Bible, and he put Matthew 28:20 upon my heart, one of my favorite verses. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I will be with you always. And I needed to hear that. Then Hebrews 13:5 come onto my heart. I will never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. What powerful promises from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I recall Dougie's words from 3 years ago. When you're troubled, go to the Psalms. And God is amazing. You never know when or how he will touch you or help you recall something. I opened my Bible and I turned to the Psalms and I went right to my favorite one, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? They pretty much say it all, don't they? Think about Romans 8:31. God put it on my heart right now. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who or what can hurt me or scare me with Jesus as my light and my salvation? What can't I overcome with Jesus as the stronghold of my life? And I could feel God's lifting me up as I read all these, but I continued reading through the Psalms, pushing forward. That's what Paul calls us to do, push forward. The past is the past, push forward. And I was reading along, and I got to our psalm today, and I had my NLT, I was reading, and I got to tell you, that verse hit me like a Freightliner truck coming down the highway. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. And I couldn't quit reading this. I mean, I kept reading it and reading it and reading it. It just jumped off the page at me. I mean, it just was there. And then I personalized it. And I'll tell you, when you personalize scripture, it gets very personal. And I went back to it and I personalized it. Though I stumble, I will never fall, for the Lord holds me by the hand. Though Mike Barker stumbles, Mike won't fall, for the Lord's got Mike by the hand. And as the song says, and I love that song, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would know my name? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would know my hurt or any of my pain? Who am I? Who are we? We are children of the living God, and we must never forget it. So even when we stumble or go through hardships, we will persevere. Why? Because we have Jesus. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Who loves us with a love that I know we don't comprehend or totally comprehend. Because we have Jesus who died a shocking, horrible death to save us, to hold our hand. And what does he ask of us? To love him, to love each other, to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And how can we not? How can we not if we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? Maybe every day when we wake up, we ought to say, Lord, you know what? I might stumble today, but I'm not going to fall because I know in my heart you have me by the hand. We've all seen the movies where someone's hanging over a cliff, you know, and he's thrashing around and somebody's up on the cliff. He's got him by the hand. And he's telling the person, just relax, relax. I got you. And that person for us upon that cliff hanging on to us is none other than Jesus Christ. And I hope when life's pain or hardships or sickness, whatever it is that rains on you, or some days when the hammer of life pounds on you, and we feel like letting go maybe, and we feel like we can't hang on, I hope you will recall this verse. I hope you will read it, memorize, and I hope that it will speak to you like it did to me. And I hope you will take time to personalize it and let it speak to you. You know, I think about when our kids and now our grandkids are growing up, and I got a granddaughter that's just starting to learn how to walk, you know, and everybody has their children, you know, you hang on to them with both hands, and and they're trying to walk. They're trying to stumble around, you know, and they're kind of wobbling, you know, but you have them by the hands. You have their hands because you're not going to let go. You have them, you're not going to let go. They feel safe, and so are we. And if your kid stumbles, you know, you don't let them go, and you don't, that little, my little granddaughter, you know, I don't let her stumble, you know, and fall down, and I don't let go of her, and I don't step back or let go of her and say, geez, you know, you're 10 months old, for heaven's sake, get up and walk, you know. You don't do that. You hang on to their hands. Even if they fall, you still have their hands. You don't let go. You get the picture? Do you get the picture? I love it when our granddaughter, she goes down and, you know, she's just down and she can't walk anymore. And I tug on her arms to get her up. And those chubby little legs of hers. I see people smiling. They're thinking about their grandkids, I think. But them little legs are pushing up. As you're tugging them up, they're pushing up. They're getting up. Sometimes our little legs need to push up. When God has us by the hands, when we fall down, he still has us. Sometimes we need to push up. And I think about Braylee, and sometimes when she falls down and I start to pull her up, she'll go, eh! She doesn't want to do it anymore. And I was thinking about that the other day. She doesn't want to get up anymore. She's tired of it. And sometimes when God, when we fall, and maybe he tugs on us, and we go, eh, we don't want to get up. We want to lay there for a while. I don't know if you call it a pity party or whatever, but sometimes when we're hurt by someone, or if we've committed a sin and we're down, sometimes we don't want to get up. We just want to lay there a little bit. But Jesus wants us up. He tugs us to get up. Why? Well, because he loves us, but he can't use us. We can't serve him when we're laying down there. He's tugging on us. And if he's tugging on you, get up. Get your legs under you and get up. He calls us to do it. How many times do you think our Lord and Savior has hung on to us? He hangs on to us and we hang on to him. Because if you let go, where are you going to go? Pastor Tim talked about that at a Lenten service one Wednesday night. And I look at him and Doris and all they're going through, and they know God has them by the hand. He's hanging on to them, and they hang on to him. And we hang on to him. So where are you going to go? Right after the service, Paul Danielson and me and Larry Gruen went right out into that hall. And that's the first thing we talked about. You let go of Christ, or you don't have Christ, where are you going to go? Who are you going to go to? Remember the disciples? When the disciples were leaving and Jesus asked the 12, you guys want to go too? And Peter stood up. Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. There's no place else to go. We have no place else to go. Thank you, Jesus. And Pastor Brian reminded me that sometimes God sends someone to hang on to our hands. And maybe none of you know this here, but all of you sitting here today and other days have me by the hand, and I thank you for that. I truly thank you for that. When me and Sue walked into that church a year and a half ago, I cannot tell you how many hands slipped into our hand and grabbed onto us. And I hope you keep hanging on to us and keep hanging on to me, because I got to tell you, I'm hanging on to you. I am hanging on to every one of you. Why? Because God put you into my life, into our life. And we're going to hang on because that's what we do here at Calvary, our church family. We hang on. When Pastor Brian and Pastor Tim had us come up here at the end of the services on Wednesday night, we gathered in a circle, and we held each other's hands. Last Sunday, Levi, Amanda, and Alan come up, and their families came up. Reggie came up, said a wonderful prayer. And it's not just such the closeness, but there's so much power in that. When we gather and we hang on to each other, it's what we're called to do. And I don't think it's just something we do here. I think it's who we are. I truly do. I think it's who we are. We're a family who loves each other, who cares about each other, and who helps each other. We better be. We're called to do it. And I think we do it very well. That is why this great God of ours not only holds our hands, but he sends people to hold someone else's once in a while. We're called to do that, to go hold that hand. Sometimes not to say anything, but just reaching out a hand that says, hey, I'm here. Sometimes a touch or a hug that says more than 1,000 words could ever say. Sometimes a caring look has more power than any word could ever have. And as I was writing this, I thought, you know, sometimes words are overrated. In James 1:19, Pastor Brian is reminded several times, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And if there's anybody here that should have that tattooed on their hand, I probably should. So when I go like this, I see that when I'm going to start talking to someone. And sometimes we're called to hold someone's hand for the last time on this earth. That can be difficult, but we do it because God wants us to do it. I've experienced this more than a few times, and the last time with my friend John a couple of months ago, we did this. His last day on earth, we moved him to the nursing home, and John told me when there was come time for that, he said, I can't tell you much, but I can promise you I'm not going to be there very long. 8 hours later, John died. We got him settled in and everybody left, and it was just me and him. And I hope it's okay that you'll listen. I really need to share this or want to share this. And I shared this, some of this at John's funeral, that his last two wishes on this earth was that it would be me and him only when it was his time to go, and it was. And his second, his last hope, it was at his funeral that someone would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What a great last wish, last hope, last prayer, that someone at his funeral would open their heart and come to know Christ. And I truly believe that happened, and I think it's still happening. It was a powerful funeral. But John's pain started coming bad that night. He had a morphine pump that I had on him, or I didn't have on him, but I knew how to use it, and I was using that, and it wasn't getting any better. And I went and I got the nurse, And I got back there, and I sat beside John, and I held his hand. And Pastor Brian made him this CD with Bible verses on it, and I started it. And John listened to that about every night the last month of his life, and that put him to sleep. It was very comforting to him. And as Psalm 23 was the first one there started, I told John, you know, let go, John. Go home. Please go home. And I told him, somebody's waiting for you. And the nurse had come into the room, and she said, oh, John, you have someone waiting for you? And I think she thought I meant a loved one. And through his pain, John smiled, and he says, Jesus is waiting for me. Jesus is waiting. Through the pain, and he was in a lot of pain. But they were going to get him up for a minute. I thought maybe that would relieve some pain. And I sat, and I told him, I said, that's fine. I'm going to walk down to the chapel, excuse me. And I went down to the chapel, and I sat down, and I looked at the cross. And there was a picture of Jesus, who I think probably Jesus looks like anyway, hanging there. And I was just looking at that. And I just started talking to God. I said, why now, at the very end, does the pain have to come so bad? And I wasn't angry. I mean, I wasn't demanding anything. I wasn't angry. I don't think I was angry. But I said, why is it so hard just to step over right now? Why is it just so hard to step over? And I didn't get an answer, but I really didn't expect one. And I just started praying. And I mean, I was praying hard. I said, Lord, take him home. Take him home now. And I had my eyes closed, and I was deep in prayer. And I heard, Mike. And I'll tell you, when you're deep in prayer and you hear your name, you open your eyes very, very slowly. And I did, and there was a young nurse standing there. She goes, they need you now. And I knew what that meant. I knew that God had heard my prayer. And I had about 150 feet to John's room. And of course, then I changed my prayer. You know, Lord, give me a minute. You know, give me a minute to get there. You know, see, the Lord has a lot to deal with when he's with me. But I got there, and I grabbed John's hand, a hand that I was called to hold. And I refused to tell him goodbye. Never would I tell him goodbye. I just said, I'll see you later. And he went home. And you know, sitting there crying and holding him, through my tears, I thought, that bugger beat me again. He gets to see Jesus before I do. That's what came to me. He always caught more fish than I did, but that's what came to me, that he beat me again. But sometimes we're sent to hold a hand that doesn't want to be held, but we do it anyway because we're called to do it, to offer God's grace, mercy to that hand. And I don't know how many were, I know a lot of you weren't here, but on Valentine's Day, we watched the movie The Grace Card, and it was a powerful movie. If you've never seen it, watch it. And the cheesecake was good too, Jan. But we watched this movie, and sometimes it's hard for us to play the grace card. Sometimes it's hard for us to give the grace. I mean, God gives it, pours it upon us, his grace and mercy every day, but sometimes it's hard for us to hand out that grace. Sometimes we don't want to play that grace card, and I'm not going to be kidding you. Sometimes it's hard for me to do that. Sometimes we like to hang on to our grace card. We don't want to give that person the grace that God has given us, because I think sometimes we think it has power, but it has no power when you hang on to it. The power is when you give it, or when you play that card, when you give it to someone, when you hand someone that grace, that's when it has the power. And I once read in a journal that sometimes we, a man's journal, that we don't know when a journey starts, and we don't know when it ends until we reflect back and we recall it. Those were very wise words, Larry. Very wise words in your journal that I read. It was very wise words. But some of us here are on a journey, and we know dang well when it started. We know very well when that journey started. Maybe we committed the sin. Maybe we were hurt by someone we love, or somebody said something to us that hurt us. We know when it started. So we hang on to our grace card. And all I can say is play that card. Clutch it in the hand of the one that hurt you. Clutch it in the one of the one that hurt you. God wants you to be free, so be free. And then this Good Friday, come here and nail it to the cross. Be done with it. You know when the journey started, and you know when that journey can end. End it. Because with Christ's help, you can end that journey. And that is a goal I myself am working on. So join me and come here and play your grace card on Good Friday. Nail it to the cross. Well, no matter what it is, if it's hurt or a sin, nail it to the cross. Be done with it. How do we do it? We recall on how much Christ has forgiven us, how many times he's committed the sins that we've committed, forgiven us. My eyes are getting watery. I can't read. We recall that he died for us while we were all sinners. And we recall on how much he loves us and wants us to be free. Be free. Be free, and that's when we can serve Christ. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest." Give him your burden and let him take the rest. Give your burden to the one that holds your hand, because he's not going to let go. And let him give you rest, because he is the only one that can restore your soul, as nothing else can. Thanks be to God. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you for giving me the strength to maybe be a little transparent. And Lord, I pray that every one of us here, no matter what we're holding, we'll let it go and be free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.